Let's begin. First of all, I want to begin by thanking those who helped put together the evening, particularly my two sheer assistants, and especially, I think, Eitan Kasevitz, who took the lion's share, and Josh Appel. They're always very helpful, and trying to arrange something in Schenck apparently is quite challenging from a technological point of view. Probably reflects, the yeshiva's, deep conservatism. But really, I want to thank Eitan and Josh both for helping out. Also, just to acknowledge the co-sponsors, which of course is Reitz, and I see that Rabbi Penner is here, and it's always good to see him. He was very close to my father. Last year at the first Yortzeit, Rabbi Penner was actually scheduled to make some introductory remarks. I'd asked him to do that because of his very close relationship with my father, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He wasn't feeling well, and he wasn't able to come in the end, which was our loss. But it's always, a pleasure to be able to acknowledge his presence and the partnership that we have. And again, my father was very fond of him, as am I. And his presence here this evening is important to me. Also, just to acknowledge the family members who are here, particularly my brother Judah and sister-in-law Debbie. They are partners with us in all things that we do, and of course, especially in commemorating the memory of our parents, but in all other matters as well. And together with their family and the rest of our family and all the other extensions, possibly the people who are, listening on Zoom. So we couldn't have done this without them. And also, Reitz, I mentioned, is a co-sponsor, SOI, and also the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, which I see a little bit in the shiur that I give there every Tuesday night, is very special, and the relationships that are forged are long-lasting ones. And whenever the Yortzeit comes out on a night when I typically give the shiur there, they're also very generous in co-sponsoring, and I appreciate that as well. Okay. The topic of the evening is the theme of Korban Pesach. I think I called it Exodus and Emunah, Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Cultivation of Belief. Before I get to the topic, I want to just note how appropriate the venue is. As I've mentioned in other occasions, Yeshiva Asher Beni Yitzchak Elkanan, Yeshiva University, was absolutely central to my father's life in all the stages of his life, from the time that he got here when he was a high teenager. He flourished here religiously and intellectually in his youth, maintained close ties with his Rebbeim and then his colleagues, and later his students. He relished the relationship that he had with faculty, never left the Beis Medrash in terms of his strong identification with our yeshiva in particular. And in his senior years, he came back here full-time and was a professor of Jewish history and the professor of many of our faculty members and Rebbeim, and just wonderful students. And he really cherished all of those relationships. He particularly treasured his lifelong relationship with Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, the Rav Zatzal, and after his Petira, my father remained fully devoted to the Rav's legacy and to his memory, which shaped so much of his own interests, certainly his calling and his many accomplishments. As noted also previously, the proximity of this Yortzeit shiur, my father's actual Petira, is on Yud Beis Nisan, just 2 days before Pesach. The proximity to Shabbos HaGadol and the topics that are typically discussed is particularly meaningful to me As I reflect upon the great impact that my exposure to my father's Shabbos HaGadol drashos really had, it was the first time really that I encountered, you know, serious in-depth Talmud Torah, and it really inspired me very much. And also just to see how excited he was to prepare and to meticulously organize, you know, these drashos, half halacha, half haggadah, was really something that obviously I couldn't articulate in my youth, but it made a profound impression on me, and it exemplified the many ways in which my father impacted myself and all of my siblings. We were very much shaped by his values and his interests. In that respect, tonight's choice of a kachim topic is, on the one hand, a little bit of a departure from that. My father never spoke on kachim themes in the shul in Kew Gardens. It reflects my own interest for sure, especially with the endlessly intriguing and singular Korban Pesach, which we'll discuss in a moment. My own fascination with these themes and broader interest in kachim. But in another respect, it really is also meant to be a tribute to my father's Girsa D'Ankasa, of which he was very, very proud. My father used to express his Hakaras HaTov for the fact that he had the mentorship, you know, not only of the Rav Zatzal, but of another great Rebbe, Rav Avram Aaron Price, who was his mentor and his Rebbe, Parsha Shiva, in Yeshivas Toras Chaim in Toronto, the Mechaber of these massive Sfarim Mishnas Avram, which aren't sufficiently appreciated in the Olam HaTorah, but who really embodied the Polish Derech HaLimud in Lumdus and in Hashkafa, the world of Sachachov and the world of Kutsk, which really caught hold of my father at a young age and remained with him, you know, all of his life. Price was a Talmud as a little boy of the Avnei Nezer, and he was really a magnificent practitioner of that Polish captivating approach that held such an attraction to my father, and certainly to me and to everyone, you know, who appreciates Talmud Torah on a high level. It was that world in which he first became immersed and deeply engaged in Talmud Torah, what he used to call, you know, the Polish Yidden of Toronto. That's really how he attached himself, to Limud HaTorah and really to Frumkeit in his very formative years. So the topic, while it's definitely my own preference, is a reflection of his interest as well. My father used to enjoy telling the story that when he first came, you know, to the yeshiva, and he came from Toronto, and he was supposed to get a bechina, so they would be able to place him properly. So the bochin at the time was Reb Mendel Zaks, but I guess Reb Mendel wasn't there that day. This is the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. But for some reason, he was away that day. And my father had just come from Toronto, so they couldn't postpone the bechina. So instead, they sent him into Dr. Belkin's office. And then Dr. Belkin looked at my father, and he said to him, you know, so what are you learning? Well, you know, I'll give you the bechina. And my father said that he was learning bechoros. Because again, in the Polish world, and in Rav Price's yeshiva, you know, I guess very much like Balajan, they just kind of, you know, kept going straight. It didn't matter whether it was brachos, even brachos, or it was bechoros. And my father had just learned bechoros the year before. At which point, Dr. Belkin looked at him a little bit, and he said, okay, we'll have the bechina on brachos. In which case, my father said to him, I didn't say brachos, I said bechoros. And then Dr. Belkin, after taking a moment or two to hesitate, looked at him squarely in the eye, and he said to him, the bechina will be in brachos. So my father enjoyed telling that story. And the truth is that somehow, you know, he made it into the yeshiva anyway, and really thrived. Okay, so let me begin with the topic, which isn't bechoros, but Korban Pesach. Let me begin by highlighting some of the unique, singular features and stature of Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach stands out, its preeminence cannot be denied, even relative to matzah and maror, you know, the The other two members of the triad of Rabbi Gamliel, Kol Shalom or Shlosh Advar Melo B'Pesach, L'Yatzei Dei Chavoso, Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. Of course, Pesach, Matzah, and Marar, together with Sipri and Sias Mitzrayim, these are the mitzvos d'oraisa of the night. And one would have thought, you know, that they would be of equal significance. But not only is Marar subservient or adjunct to Korban Pesach, there's no Marar d'oraisa absent Korban Pesach, because the Machlokas are Rishonim, not for now, but whether it's only d'oraisa in the context of actually eating the Korban Pesach, or in the era of Korban Pesach, you know, even someone like an RL who can't eat the Korban Pesach would still have a d'oraisa obligation of Marar. But one way or another, in Sefer HaMitzvos, Inukos Korban Pesach, the Rambam reflects this by integrating Marar in Minyan HaMitzvos together with Korban Pesach, not as an independent mitzvah. But even Matzah seems to take a backseat to the theme of Korban Pesach, notwithstanding the fact that the Torah continuously refers to the holiday as Chag HaMatzah. It's fascinating to note that in Sefer HaMitzvos, when the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah and Korban Pesach, he strikes a very defensive note. Basically, he wants to know why it is that Pesach, Matzah, and Marar weren't all wrapped into a single mitzvah. The fact that he asks this question, you know, considering that Maror is an adjunct, is clear, but at the end of the day, Ba'er of Tochu Matzos, we know that there are two elements of Achilas Matzah on this night. One is Amatzah Sumrorim Yochluhu, but the other one is Ba'er of Tochu Matzos. The Gemara in the very end of Masechet Pesachim, Dav Kufcha, explains that for that reason, Matzah, even Bizman Azeh, when there's no Korban Pesach, is Minator. So it's clear that Matzah is a Din D'oraisa, and the Rambam, of course, explicates this both in Sefer HaMitzvos and in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. And yet he feels the need to justify why it is that Matzah wasn't wrapped into Korban Pesach. Very shocking. Moreover, the Ramban, in a very astute, very singular comment, the Ramban criticized, as we know, the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, and whenever the Rambam counted that which he shouldn't, according to the Ramban's worldview, or omitted something that should have been inserted instead. So the Ramban is very free, very open in his criticism. The Ramban thinks that the Rambam omitted Birchas HaTorah in the Taryag Mitzvahs. And at a certain point at the end of his presentation, he says, I know what people are going to say. They're going to say, even if Birchas HaTorah is d'oraisa, it should still be integrated into the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's a prat, a detail in Talmud Torah. However, says the Ramban, I have precedent for my thinking. There is something called Mikra Bikurim, which is an independent mitzvah in addition to Avos Bikurim. And he said there's something else called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we're all very familiar with, which is connected to, and instead of saying Matzah and Pesach, he just says Korban Pesach. Meaning the Ramban seems to assume that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is primarily about Pesach. This, despite the fact that part of the definition of matzah, you know, lechem oni, is dvarim she'onim olav dvarim harbe, which, you know, connects to the principle of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Actually, the Gemara itself discusses whether or not a person who's blind can lead the Seder. It's linked to whether matzah is malazez d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. There are numerous indications that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is linked particularly to matzah. And yet the Ramban, when he wanted to exemplify, you know, a relationship of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to one of the mitzvos, the one that obviously considered to be the predominant one was Korban Pesach. Indeed, the Netziv in his Haggadah has a whole introduction, and it's a leitmotif throughout his, you know, presentation of the whole night, that, you know, certainly when there was a Korban Pesach, Korban Pesach took center stage. Even Bizman Hazeh, when there is no Korban Pesach, the Netziv argues, many of our practices reflect our yearning and the central role that Korban Pesach would have played or would play, you know, if only we were able, you know, to actualize, you know, its presence. So, obviously, even relative to matzah, Sefer Mitzvot Sajagon, Rabbi Ruchem Pershel Pirlo, is a very fascinating piece in which he suggests that there might be substantive changes in the actual dinim of matzah, depending on whether or not it's Bizman Korban Pesach or Bizman Hazeh. Again, notwithstanding the fact that no one is disputing the end of Masechet Pesachim, which says that Be'erev Tocha Matzahs constitutes an independent mitzvah. Even the naming of the holiday, a very famous problem that Darshanim, you know, particularly like to speak about, a very famous Rav Levi Yitzhak B'Barditchev, and many other, you know, suggestions have been made, why it is that Klal Yisrael calls the holiday Chag HaPesach, when the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos. Even that, you know, the race instinct of Klal Yisrael, Puk Chazi Ma'amadavar, reflects the centrality of Korban Pesach. And it's fascinating because most of the people who, you know, employ the usage, you know, Amcha, have very little idea of the details of Korban Pesach. There's something about this Korban that instinctively Klal Yisrael knows is preeminent, you know, occupies a critical place during this night. This preeminence is consistent with the rarefied company that Korban Pesach shares with Bris Milah. The two of them are the only mitzvah saseh sheyesh bohem kares. Typically, a mitzvah saseh doesn't have that kind of consequence. And even though the Rambam formulates this din of mitzvah saseh sheyesh bohem kares in slightly different fashion, in my opinion, in the beginning of Hilchos Milah and the beginning of Hilchos Korban Pesach, a subject for another discussion. Nonetheless, the fact that there are only two members of this club certainly, once again, accentuates the importance of Korban Pesach, rarefied company indeed. Both of them have a gerus connotation. The Mechilta and the Sifrei, famously, also quoted by Rashi, both in Parshas Bo, and again in Parshas Baaloska. It sounds like the Medrash had a Havamina, or thought that there could have been a Havamina, that whenever a ger joins Klal Yisrael, even if it's, you know, during Sukkos or Purim, it doesn't make a difference. Any time in the year when a ger is this guy here, the Havamina was he should bring a Korban Pesach. No one ever said he has to shake a lulav or blow a shofar or, frankly, even bring a Korban Shtei HaLechem. Only Korban Pesach. And while we don't paskin that way, the need to exclude it reflects the fact that Korban Pesach's role is not limited to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but obviously in that context, its significance is, you know, something that transcends its context. The fact that Bris Milah is also a prerequisite for Korban Pesach itself further connects, you know, these two critical ideas. The singular phenomenon of Pesach Sheni, a month-delayed substitute or second opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach, is also unprecedented and unique. We don't have anything like it in the Halakha. There is an effort to compare it in some respects to the Tashlumin of Chagiga or Tefillah, but its distance and its specific properties defy that particular analogy. The initiative of Klal Yisrael itself to establish or to establish that the Ribbono Shel Olam's intention all along was that there should be a second opportunity for Pesach Sheni, and the description of its indispensability, Lama Nigara, again reinforces the special stature and unequaled value of Korban Pesach. Klal Yisrael were saying, we can't simply acquiesce, we can't concede the spiritual opportunity afforded by Korban Pesach. It's fascinating also to note, again for another time, details, that the kares of abstaining from Korban Pesach actually appears in the context of the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, not the original Parsha in Bo, and that the Pasuk that is used for Korech is actually the Pasuk of Pesach Sheni as well. I think this is for very intentional reasons, but we'll leave that for another time. Moreover, even if we were to compare Korban Pesach, instead of comparing it to Matzah and Maror, or, you know, discussing the implications of Pesach Sheni, even if we were to compare it to other Karbanos, Pesach quite simply defies rule after rule. Fact is that the Rambam didn't put it in Sefer Avodah, he put it with some other rule breakers in Sefer Karbanos. Let me delineate just very briefly, and later, if there's some time, I'll return to some of these phenomena, if not, Ur Chazon Mamareh. Firstly, it's noteworthy that the Parsha that we read, you know, this past Shabbos, the beginning of Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Vayikra and Tzav and so on, these Parshios in Torah's Kohanim say nothing about Korban Pesach. I like always to refer to Korban Pesach as a Shemos Korban, you know, rather than a Vayikra Korban. Of course, it is mentioned in Parshas Emor, and again, in the context of the Musafim in Bamidbar, but in the end of the day, as a presentation of Korbanos, Korban Pesach is strikingly absent. Its timing differs from all others. The Shechita is at Chatzos, the Siyum of the Achila is at Chatzos. A split between the Shechita and the Hakrava, I'm sorry, the Shechita and the Achila in its timing, all of these are things that we do not encounter in practically any other Korban. Like other Korbanos, there's a concept of Yotze, which is posel in Korban Pesach. But instead of being the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara, in this particular case, it's the precincts that are defined by the Chabura. And of course, that itself is a phenomenon that we encounter in no other place. The capacity to simply identify or define what type of Korban Korban Pesach is eludes us. Typically, we know that there are two types of korbanos, a korban yachid and a korban tzibur. When it comes to korban pesach, there's all sorts of mixed evidence, and the Gemara itself characterizes it sometimes as a korban tzibur, sometimes as a korban yachid. Some formulations, Tosas and Yuma, and Avav Mudbeis, the Rambam in his Akdama, the Pirshu Mishnayos on Kadshim, don't even try to pigeonhole it in one single designation, although again, the formulations are very, very interesting. It's Doche Shabbos, it's Doche Tuma, it's Kavualo Zman, for Bama purposes, it's treated as a Korban Tzibor, for Chatzotzros, on the other hand, it's Osa Tmura, and there are other manifestations of it being like a Korban Yachin as well. The Gemara says, Korban Tzibor aspect of Korban Pesach is reflected by the fact that it's Ba B'Kinufya, also an ambiguous term, but mostly means that all Klal Yisrael bring the Korban Pesach at the same time. Now the question again, of course, is why all of a sudden a new, an ambiguous category on the one hand and the Chabura category of which applies only to Korban Pesach, originally a family unit, on the other. The preparation of Korban Pesach requires three rounds that signify three different themes of Klal Yisrael, the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim Daf Samach Daled Amud Aleph, Tzibor, Kahal, Eda, Yisrael. The impact of Korban Pesach is such that it even triggers a quasi-Yom Tov of its own. The day of Yud Daled, Nisan, after Chatzos, when the Korban Pesach is Nishkat, is treated with regard to Isur Malacha and Korban Chagigas Yudalid as an actual quasi Yom Tov for other dinim as well. So the status of Korban Pesach vis-a-vis its, you know, companions, the status of Korban Pesach objectively, the status of Korban Pesach in the world of Korbanos, all of it highlights uniqueness and singularity and obviously great significance. Tonight, I'd like to zero in on two aspects that I think reflect many of these others. I want to focus on two phenomena before circling back to some of these other manifestations. Shechita and a little bit on Achila. Let me begin with the Psukim in Parshas Bo. So the Psukim in Parshas Bo, I have the wrong number of columns. Although it should have very, very edifying. But I think I have a copy of it. Okay, it's always better to be on the same page, I guess. The Psukim in Parshas Bo reflect the preeminence of Korban Pesach. Right in the beginning, when we speak about the halachic requirements or activities that will take place on this day, the first immediate thing that we encounter is Korban Pesach. Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor, Hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim rishon hu lachem lechadshei hashana. So it starts off famously with the principle of Kiddush HaKodesh, which is so much a part and parcel of the Nisan experience. And then the first thing we're told is Davru al kol adas Yisrael leimor v'asor lachodesh hazeh v'yikhu lahem ish sela beis avos sela bayis. The first tzivui, not about matzah, it's not about, you know, getting rid of chametz. It's about, of course, the experience of Pesach Mitzrayim. We're immediately exposed to the fact that there is a new unit that is going to be utilized here in the Chabura. And the Nechsap Nefashot is darshan by Chazal to refer to the Zman Hashkita, which defines the members or the minui of the Chabura. Ish lefi achlo, tachusu alaseh, means tishkatu alaseh. Setamim zachar ben shana yelachem mina kvasim mina yizim tikach. And then in Pasuk Vav, most importantly, the Torah tells us, v'haya lachem l'mishmeret ad arba asayom l'chodesh hazeh v'shachatu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael bein orbo. The words v'shachatu oso as the first description of enacting, of actually implementing the Korban Pesach is extremely significant, as we'll discuss in a moment. Especially relative to, again, the way that the Torah describes the performance of other korbanos, in Vayikra, in Tzav, in other special korbanos as well. Here the Torah tells us, what is it about Korban Pesach? The Shachatu also, and of course, Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, the Tzibur, one for the Tzibur, every member of the Tzibur, everybody who is somehow represented, although not necessarily as an individual activity, a very ambiguous pasuk, which plays a very important role. Then in Pasuk Ches, we encounter the Achlus Habasar Balayla Hazeh, Tzliyesh Matos Amaror Yochluhu. Again, typically in Korbanos, you don't usually get such an upfront formulation of the mitzvah of Achila. There's a mitzvah of Achila's kachim, the Ochlo So Asher Kupar Bahem. It's part of the kapara process. We'll get to this in a moment. But typically, a chiyuv achila is not formulated in this way, other karbanos. And then, you know, the Torah turns to other things. But once again, if you look at Pasuk Kapalef, Vayikra Moshal Ziknei Yisrael, Vayomar Lehem Mishku Kulachem, Tzon Lemishpachoseichem. Again, when the Torah wants to say, implement, you know, bring the Korban Pesach, do the Korban Pesach, it says, v'shachatu ha-Pesach. Then, Torah continues, and the siyum of this parsha, once again, not going to take the time because it will take too long, all these psukim in the end refer very specifically to Korban Pesach. And it's only later that matzah and chametz is integrated into the picture. So the idea that Pesach has a preeminent role is already reflected in the Torah Shebitzah, number one. But more importantly for our purposes tonight, the principle of Shechitas HaPesach as a way of signifying the execution of this obligation is something that appears in Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Chaf Aleph. We also have a very explicit obligation of Achim. Let's compare this briefly. Let's see how the Rambam formulates this mitzvah, and especially in comparison to other mitzvahs. If you look carefully in the next section, the Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach in his Koteret, in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, in Sefer HaMitzvos, with respect to both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, obviously was very impacted by the Psukim, but also, as we'll discuss, by the Halacha, and he accentuates in each case the obligation of Shkitas a Pesach. If you look here, Rambam Korban Pesach Hakdama, Yesh Bechalam Sheish Mitzvos, Arba Mitzvah Seh, Shtayim Mitzvos Lo Saseh, Zehu Pratan, the first one, Lishchot Es HaPesach. Then comes Lishchot Pesach Sheni. You also have Lechol Basar Pesach and Lechol Pesach Sheni. So both Achila and Shkita are formulated very clear. In Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Seh Lishchot Es HaPesach. In Ohakla Beis, you have the Isur Kares. In Sefer Mitzvos, in some of the versions of Sefer Mitzvos, they translated the Arabic Lahakriv Korban Pesach with regard to Pesach Rishon. Even they translated Pesach Sheni as Lishkot. In the Frankel, he changed it Shatzivanu Lishkot Se'a Pesach B'yom Arba Asar Benisa. And again, Asei Nun Zayin, everybody agrees, is a language of Shechita. All of this would be fascinating, you know, in its own right. Like, why the emphasis Shkita? Shkita is not the only thing you do in Korban Pesach. There is, you know, the regular avodos of Korban Pesach. There is, you know, the Kabbalah, there is the Halacha, there is the Zrika, you know, there's the, you know, other avodos as well. Why so much emphasis on Shkita? It has its roots in Psukim, that just merely pushes the question backward. But this is particularly important, especially when you look at Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, and you see, if you compare the other psukim, I just don't want to take the time to do that right now, it's reflected, but in the Rambam's presentation as well. In Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, what you will find is that the Rambam never characterizes the execution of any other korban by referring to the Shechita. Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, Yesh Bechlalon, Shalosh is Eser Mitzvos, Eser Mitzaseh, Shalosh Eser Losaseh, Zehu Pratan, Lasos Ha'olav, Kemaisa Aksuba Malaseder, Lasos. Shalol Lechol Basar Olav, fine. Seder Chatos. Now the Chatos is also eaten, you know, partly by the Kohanim, but it's Seder Chatos, and it's Asiyas Ha'olav. And then it is Seder Ha'asha. And then it is Seder Hashlamin. Kinds of wonder why it's a siyas achatas. That's not for now. Even in terms of achila, you rarely have, you have achilas hakohanim shiyochla kohanim basar kachim b'mikdash, which is a little bit of a different formulation, only in shiare menachos, which is our kolel, you know, topic of the year, do you find shiyochlu kohanim shiare menachos. Mostly, we don't find explicit mitzvah achila as an independent mitzvah. So the contrast between the presentation of Korban Pesach and other korbanos, both with regard to Shechita and Achila, is very, very striking. The Beis Halevi was struck by something else in an interesting piece in Chelek Aleph Siman Beis. I'll get back to the details in just a minute. He notes that it's rare for Achila to be counted as an independent mitzvah. And it's even more unusual that the Rambam or that the Psukim would emphasize both Shechita and Achila. Because there's no other pair of Shechita and Achila in the mitzvos of bringing other kabbalas. And the question is, so why here? With respect to that, let me zero in on a foil. So, the Rambam, you know, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, as we are aware, he counts, you know, many things again, you know, that are subject to controversy. So in the Parshas that we've just been reading, for example, in the last number of weeks, the Rambam counts, you know, the Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash as part of the mitzvah of Binyan HaMikdash. And he also counts separately the mitzvah of preparing and wearing, different formulations of the Rambam, big day kahuna. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos objected very strongly to both of these. Ramban was convinced that there should not be a separate minyan mitzvahs from Big Day Kahuna, and the kelim, even the mizbeach, the shulchan, the menorah, they should not be included in the mitzvah aseh of building the Beis HaMikdash. She said they're pratim, they're details, they're makshirim, or they're either they just, you know, allow it to happen, they're matirim, or they are pratim. Either way, they don't belong in minyan mitzvahs. And then, of course, that triggered a whole literature to try to explain Shita Sarah. So the Megillas Esther, I think I put this a little bit later on. Let me just find it, if I can. Yeah, if you look here on the, what page is this? 4, okay. Number 15. Oh, yeah, thank you for the numbering. I'm never good at that. The Megillas Esther, when he talks about the problem of, Big Day Kahuna, Mitzvah Lamed Gimel. So the Ramban criticizes the Rambam, and the Megillas Esther says something very fascinating. It says, nearly, she'snatzlus ha-Ramban al-Bahag, she'omar, she'mashe lomona ha-boshas begodim b'mitzvah saseh, haya lefi she'choshva l'hachshir mitzvah, v'hu imkein chelek mi-mitzvah v'layabu b'minyan, eino klum. Megillas Esther says, the Ramban's comment, equating machshirim and chalakim of a mitzvah and saying that neither of them belong, in a mitzvah, never mind with a separate mitzvah, he said that's incorrect. Because zeh kichiluk gadol yesh bein hechsher mitzvah bein chelek b'mitzvah. There's a difference between a hechsher mitzvah, an action which, matirs or enables some other mitzvah, it's subservient to, but it still has a certain measure of independence, bein chelek b'mitzvah, and simply a detail in a mitzvah. Ki b'marcha, hechsher mitzvah, hinei atahomer, ki b'zeh tichshar mitzvah, lasosa ki l'chasa. V'imkein ha-hechsher hazeh eino chelek mimena, v'ra'ui limnosa, sh'arei kama hechsher mitzvah, bo'in b'minyan. Actually, hechsheri mitzvah are legitimately appropriate to count in the minyan mitzvahs. What's the example that he brings, of all things? So, our good fortune. The first example that comes to the Megillas Esther's mind, Kemo shchitas ha-pesach, she'eino ela hechsher le'ochlo ba'erev. If you want a second one, not for now. U'sreifas ha-parah aduma, shu gamkein hechsher li'os ha'efra, hu buchan le'tahir bo es ha-tzmein, ve'rabim ka'ela. Says the Megillas Esther, the relationship between shchitas ha-pesach and achila, is correct. There is a relationship. Beit Halevi was, this is many years later, speaking anachronistically, like a generational conversation, is correct. But the relationship is that of Ikar and Tophet. The main mitzvah is Achilas HaPesach, and Shchita is a Hechsher, but the Rambam counts Hechsherim, that's probably why he has Big Day Kahuna as well. However, I'm using this as a foil. When I read this, I strongly reacted and rebelled. Number one, the timing, doesn't make sense. Again, you have the Shchitas Korban Pesach et Chatzos, and then you have the Achilas Korban Pesach only ba'erev, until the next Chatzos. But more than that, based on what we've already said, the emphasis in Psukim is more about v'shachatu, v'shachatu, first and again, than Achila. And certainly that is a case also in the Rambam. And if anything, either these are separate mitzvos, likely there is a relationship between them, maybe they're equal, or if anything, and we'll get back to this a little bit later on, view of Tosis and Psachim, Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, based on the Gemara in Nazir, Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, if anything, the relationship is exactly the opposite. The Achila is simply a further reinforcement and manifestation of the Shechita. We'll talk about that a little bit later. On the one hand, you can't blame Megillas Esther. His approach seems more intuitive. Typically, Shechita is one of four avodos, and Achila, especially Achos Samasa Balayla Zeh, we make so much, of a happening out of Achilas Korban Pesach, in Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman. It has to be Alasova. It's therefore preceded by Chagigas Yadalid. There is a lot of evidence that the Achila of Korban Pesach is extremely significant. At the same time, As say the Psukim, the Rambam, the evidence don't support it. Moreover, while there is a very intricate relationship, we'll talk in a moment, between Shchita and Achila, Achila is not Ma'akev in Korban Pesach. The Kares is from not being Shochet, or being involved, or Mitzura, to Shchita's Korban Pesach. Not vice versa. So, it only begs the question, since Megillas Esther was somebody with a great intuition, and we can totally understand where he's coming from. So why is it not true that Shchita is just a Hekshar for Achila's Korban Pesach? And maybe, if anything, that the relationship is reversed. Why would that be true? This Shchita centrism and its connection to Achila is reflected in other Makoros, again, that signify the uniqueness of Korban Pesach as well. If you look at the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, you have this on Mar Makomos number 10, where Mishnah says, Chamisha Dvarim Boim Betuma, Ve'ina Nacholim Betuma. There are five things that come Betuma, meaning they are, you know, if you don't have the possibility of bringing it other than when the Tzibor is Tamei, that you will still bring this Korban. Ha'omer, Shnei Alechem, Lechem Apanim, Zivkei Shalmei Tzibor, Tzibor Yorsh Kadashim. All these are boim betuma, but they're not necholim betuma. In other words, you can execute the korban, but you can't eat the korban if they're tmeim, even if the tzibur is tamei. One exception. What's that one exception? Korban Pesach. A Pesach shebo betuma, nechol betuma. Why? Shelovo mitchilaso elalachi. Meaning, even though achila is not ma'akev, achila is a primary upfront factor in Korban Pesach. Let me give another example. Rashi, and Samech Aleph Omid Aleph, in Masechet Pesachim, discussing the principle of Shelo L'Minui. I'm not going to read it because it takes a little bit too long. I'll just give you the gist of it. The background is as follows. There's something called Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bayit in the world of Kodesh. In the beginning of Masechet Zvachim, and Menachos, there's a whole discussion of the requirement of Lishma. The korban should be brought Lishma. And they discuss two types of violations of Lishma. Lishem korban acher, Shinui Kodesh, and Shinui Bayit. You bring it for the wrong owner. That's called Shinui Bayit. Everybody but the Rambam is of the opinion that Shinui Bayit only registers, I mean, if you have the thought when you're doing the avodos of a korban, for the wrong violin, that is only problematic and only registers if somehow it's related to the Zrika, which is the basis of the kapara for the korban. So for example, if Bishas Shchita, you're thinking, I want the kapara that's going to come from this Zrika, of this, later on in this korban, to be for, Ruvain, even though it's really the korban that the real owner is Shimon, that's going to be Shinui Bayit. But if you only focus on Shchita, or Holacha, or Kabbalah, saying this Shchita, this Holacha, this Kabbalah is not for the right Bailim, for everybody but the Rambam holds, that's not Shinui Bayit. However, says Rashi, the Mishnah says that if you do Shchita's Korban Pesach Shelo L'Minuyav, that's a problem. Rashi thought that the principle of Shelo L'Minuyav was the equivalent to Shinui Bayit in a regular Korban, and he was troubled. It should only be limited to the Zrika. But this long Rashi here, in number 11, which I'm not going to read, but it's there for reading, basically says, Korban Pesach is different than every other Korban. You know why? Because the Shchita is more prominent than the Shchita in any other Korban, and the Achila is more prominent. Every other Korban is primarily about the Zrika, the Kapara, the Dam. When it comes to Korban Pesach, it's about Shchita and Achila. And therefore, even the equivalent of Shinui Bailim expresses itself Dafka and Shchita, not only or not even in Zrika. Indeed, this integration between Shchita and Achila, as I mentioned earlier, is reflected in the Minui to a Chabura. The Minui of a Chabura takes place at the Zman of the Shchita. At the moment of Shchita, that determines who can be part of the company that will feast on this particular Korban Pesach. So the connection between Shkita and Achila and their added prominence in Korban Pesach as opposed to any other Korban is clearly established. The question, of course, though, is why? Let me mention one other things and then one other example, and then I'll tell you what I think it's about. The Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Mem Beis Omed Aleph, what's it doing in second parak of Kiddushin? Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo Bishlucha, Ha'isha Miskadeshes Ba'u Bishlucha. The sugya in Kiddushin, the Mishnah, discusses the concept of Kiddushin Ayde Shliach. That is the source, par excellence, right, which discusses the source of Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso, a very treasured, very important institution in Halakha. So while the Gemara initially tries to prove the principle of Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso from, Gittin, Kiddushin, Shliach LaHalakha, Shliach LaKabbalah, and then Apotropos, the Gemara, has for several attempts. At one point, the Gemara suggests that maybe the source of Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso is actually Shkitas HaPesach. The Gemara says, the Pesach Echad, somehow I got cut off the line. The Gemara says, how do you know that every Jew can collectively fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach with one Korban, with one Pesach? Shenemar, b'shachatu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael ben rabayim. That pasuk vav in the very beginning of the presentation of Pesach, the shachatu also kol kahal adas. Is it true? Right. What does it mean? Every Jew is shechting according to Pesach. Halo ina shochet ela echad. One person is being shochet for the entire chabura. Ela mikan shekol yisrael yotzei bePesach echad. Everybody can fulfill his obligation with the shechita of one member of the chabura, because of the principle of shulchan shalom kemos. Then, I'm not going to go into the details of this, the Gemara says, shliach bekadshim minolei, minei. Maybe we should learn shliach bekadshim from this as well. And then the Gemara says, dilma shani hasam, yisrael shutfas begabayu. Maybe, if you're talking about a korban sibur, everybody has like a part in it, so that isn't really shulchan shalom kemoso. That's just like a corporate entity. And then the Gemara continues with its discussion of this particular issue. I don't want to get too deeply involved. What emerges from the Gemara seems to be that, at least with regard to Shkitas Korban Pesach, that is a possible source for Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso because of Shachatu Oso Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. However, the evidence with respect to other Kadshim, right, seems to be, problematic. Meaning, is this true only about Korban Pesach? That the Baal is really obligated to Shecht, and if he's not actually doing it, then the person who is doing it as his agent, Shluchot Shel Adam Kemoso, is that really what's happening? Or, maybe not. Maybe in regular Kaddish, maybe only in Shechitas Korban Pesach, do you need Shlichos? So if you look at the Gemara in Masechet Chulin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says, at one point, the Gemara discusses the fact that non-Jews can be noder, nedarim, and nedavos ki Yisrael. So the Achronim took this Gemara, and they ran with it. They said, you see from here, that whoever is being shochet on behalf of the non-Jew, is able to discharge the obligation on his behalf. But we also know that ein shliach, la'akron. Shlichus is contained only within Bnei Bris. Another Gemara discusses, whether a katan can do shchitas kadshim, maybe even with adult supervision. In the end of the day, in shlichus lakatan, how could you even countenance the possibility that a katan would be shochet? Or, if indeed you need, shlichus, could a katan be included in a karban where the shchita is done by someone else? Again, a katan can't be a shliach, and he can't be the recipient of the benefits of shlichus. So it would seem to be very problematic. It would seem to be that you don't require shlichus in shchitas korbanos. So what about the stira? So the Pnei Yoshua, Sefer Makne, the Minchas Baruch, many of the Acharonim suggest that indeed there is a distinction to be made between Korban Pesach on the one hand and other Korbanos. They don't explain why, but they do note that it's striking that the Torah emphasizes the Shachatu also, the particular Shechita, not just the Hakrava or the broader Asiya of this Korban. Of course, if we integrate it with everything we've seen so far, the Psukim, the Rambam, the outsized role that Shechita plays, you know, both in terms of Achila and as a substitute for the Zrika and Dam of other Korbanos, so we have reinforced the patterns. But the question is why? And the answer, of course, is very simple but very profound. The answer is that Shechitas Korban Pesach was an epiphanous moment in the history of Klal Yisrael. You know, Chazal say, Ad sheyishkatu Eloheim le'enei. That the whole process that began with Mishku Ukhu, tying the Korban Pesach on the 10th day of Nisan, even though the Seh was the god of the Egyptians, even though Klal Yisrael were deeply in a state of bondage, I'll discuss that in a minute, and everything that implies, the ability to follow this tzibui was nothing short of remarkable, and at the same time, it was incredibly transformative. It changed forever the trajectory of Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of evidence that Korban Pesach is a Korban Emunah. The Sefer HaChinuch, which talks about the exclusion of Benechar, topic in its own right, not for now, but just this little point. He says, why is it, I mean, Meshubad, somebody who's not faithful to Judaism but is born a Jew, typically we say, Yisrael afa pishachata Yisrael. Right? He's a renegade Jew, but he's still obligated in the mitzvos. He should be included, possibly, in the Korban. The Sefer HaChinuch, number 22, explains, Mishrashe mitzvah zuma shekasu b'shchitaso l'zecher nitzi mitzrayim, alkein roi shel ayochel bo meshuma. An apostate cannot eat the Korban Pesach. He can eat any other Korban. Achar she'anu osin oso l'oso l'zikaron shebanu b'oso zman l'chasos tachas kanfei ashkim. V'nichnasnu b'bris ha'torah v'ha'emunah. Beautiful language of the Sefer HaChinuch. At this moment, Klal Yisrael changed direction. They re-entered the Ribbono Shel Olam's spiritual haven, protection. They came under Tachas Kanfei Ashkina with the bris of Torah v'emunah. And therefore, ein roi shenachil mimenu l'mishu hefech mizeh sheyotzeh min haklal v'kafer v'emunah. Svarahu, Klomar, Ein Sorech Raya Cheras. A very fascinating Sefer HaChinuch, both the formulation and the end. Like, you don't need rayas for this. This is very basic. This is a core idea. It would be absurd. It would be obscene if a Meshumad could eat the Korban Pesach, if the Korban Pesach is the Korban of Emunah. The truth is, on that basis, we totally understand the connection between Mila and Korban Pesach. Mila is to the individual what Korban Pesach is to the tzibur. A Korban of commitment, a Korban which identifies a different kind of destiny. And that's why both of them are mitzvah saseh sheish ben kares. And that's why, absent a bris mila, an orel also cannot take part in the Korban Pesach. That's the reason, of course, why the Medrash Halacha had a Hava Mina, that even if it's Shavuos or Sukkos or, you know, or Thanksgiving or whatever day of the year, that somebody enters Klal Yisrael through Geirus, that he would have to bring a Korban Pesach. The status and the identity, and especially the association with the destiny of Klal Yisrael, was initiated or reinitiated by the Korban Pesach itself. Of course, on a narrower level, it was a negation of Avodah Zarah, the Sur Meira. But it's much more than that. It was the embrace of Avdus Hashem, It's important to understand two things. Number one, as the Ibn Ezra develops it, the slave mentality of Klal Yisrael was deeply embedded in their psyche, in their consciousness. Ibn Ezra explains that even after all the miracles, even after the Korban Pesach, when Klal Yisrael encountered the Mitzrin, you know, at Yam Suf, they saw their masters, and they were not able, you know, to override or overcome, you know, their feelings of inadequacy and of terror. And that's, of course, how the Ibn Ezra explains why this door weren't able to enter Eretz Yisrael, because of their slave mentality. My son Avigdor claims that it's a Golus mentality. But anyways, the embrace of Avdus Hashem goes well beyond simply negating Avodah Zarah. The ability in that shining moment, Ad sheyishkatu Eloheihem li'einayim, to do something that was so defiant, basically converged faith, emunah, a theological and religious consideration, and a sense of dignity and liberty. At that moment, Klal Yisrael simultaneously, in integrated fashion, asserted themselves as Bnei Chorin, as Avdei Hashem, not just people who would negate the Sur Meira of Avodah Zarah. And it's more than that as well. It's the replacement of Avdei Paro with the embrace, the enthusiastic embrace of becoming Avdei Hashem. Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, velo Avdei Paro. If you look at the Psukim, throughout the whole Shmos chronicle, from beginning to end, the language of Voda is ubiquitous. Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim are Avodim, and you know, Mikotza Ruach and Avoda Kasha, you know, they can't even hear, meaning they can't understand, they can't, you know, integrate, they can't internalize certain messages. But at the same time, what Moshe Rabbeinu is seeking on their behalf, what the Rabbeinu Shalom is seeking on their behalf, uses the same word that they're supposed to go out and to be Oved Bamidbar, Ivdu as Hashem. It's not a coincidence. The effort is being led by Moshe Rabbeinu, who in the end of his life, you know, is simply defined as Eved Hashem. At the end of the Torah, in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, with everything else there is to say about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Navi par excellence, Rabbeinu par excellence, the Melech, Vayhi Bishur and Melech, in the end of the day, it's Moshe Eved Hashem. Because Moshe is the one who orchestrated and presided over the transition of Avdei Paro to Avdei Hashem. And it's not just throwing one out and bringing the other. It's a perspective both on Emunah, on religion and belief and faith, but at the same time, it's a perspective on dignity, Bechira Chopshis, seizing a different kind of a destiny. The integration of these two things are significant. The Avnei Nezer has a very fascinating piece in Yoredei Simin Taf Nun Daled. Strange that it's there. It's about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, actually. But in the context of that, you can look at it just for a minute. I have here somewhere, I know. Yeah, on page 6. Hold on 1 second. The Avnei Nezer says as follows. Acha inyan hu di Yisrael nigalu b'dam Pesach b'dam Mila. This is in his halachic writings, although there is certainly an interface, you know, hashkafically as well. Behindu de Mila mora simen avodas l'Hashem u'motze me'avus Mitzrayim. V'chein Pesach t'ksiv b'yavadata eso avoda hazos. Again, these ubiquitous terms, avoda, would seem to have two very different meanings, one about slavery and work, the other about Avodas Hashem, religious commitment and an expression of faith. When we speak about eating the Korban Pesach, where's the Achila in there? Because an Eved, a true Eved, looks to his Adon for Mizonos. And then he goes on to say, I'm skipping a couple of lines, that Ikeshahayu Avadu b'Mitzrayim Hayu Mizonoseyem Mishal Mitzrayim Ukeshiyotzu b'Nasu Abde Hashem Achlu Pesach Mishulchan Gaboah V'zeh Avoda Shachilas HaPesach Mishulchan Gaboah Mora Shem Abde Hashem Yalkein B'Mesha Roy L'Achila B'Shazrika B'Huzmino L'Shulchan Gaboah Hashem, etc. The Hashta, and now you can explain a phenomenon. The Gemara says that an Eved Knani, Eino Yochol Lachol Pesach, he's not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach on his own. Nor is he allowed to choose, even if he has two odos, he can't choose one over the other. The only time he can ever eat Korban Pesach is if the odon imposes a particular chabura on him. Asks the Abnezer in the oath before, which I should have copied, what does Achilas Korban Pesach, why does that challenge the Adnus, the sovereignty of his being an Eved? But what he's trying to explain now is Hashta Eved Knani, Eina Yochol Lechol Pesach Sheyoreshu Eved Hashem, Sharei Adayin Eved Adonavu, Umizonosa Mishal Adono. There is an integration here between two ideas. The idea of faith, religion, and being an Eved Hashem. And in the Shem Yishmuel, the son of the Abnezer elaborates his father's perspective, fascinatingly argues that Klal Yisrael, of course, as we know, as Chazal say, were mired in Mitzrayim. They practically were at a point of spiritual extinction, and that would have been the end. The ability to extricate themselves from this state required an extraordinary transformation. To put it the way the Abnezer says, only embracing being an Avde Hashem could extricate them from being Avde Pah. These weren't two different dinim. It wasn't Amuna and Cheros. It was Ein Ben Chor Nelebisha Osek B'Torah B'Mitzvos. It was the alternative of Avde Paro and Avde Hashem. Not that they happened to go from one to the other. It couldn't have been any other way. And therefore, now back to what I'm speaking about, this idea of integrating liberty, dignity, Tzelem Elokim, and faith, Emuna, the ability to muster, you know, the capacity to neutralize the slave mentality that many of the Mefarshim speak about so often in this context, and to do so in a way that expresses religious faith and commitment. That, of course, was captured most acutely by Shchitas Korban Pesach. Achi Yishkatu Eloheim Liene. The Achila was an additional support, Achilas Mizonos Mishulchan Gaboah. If this is the new Adon, it's a way of establishing that integration, that conjunction between Emuna and Avdus. And if this is the case, we can also appreciate that while the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Yud Gimel elaborates the principle, you know, in the context of a Meshumad, of Shechita as an expression of faith, of Emuna, he actually calls it a Korban Emuna. In the very next Mitzvah, Mitzvah Yud Dalid, he says, Mishwashe Mitzvazu, this is number 23, Masha Kasavnu, Ba'acheros, Lizkor Yitzias Mitzrayim. But then he says, Ubabur Shekorban Zele Zecher Cheruseinu, Uboenu Bebris Nemana. Here he expands and integrates the Cherus and the Amuna. Im Hashem Yisbarach, Ra'ui Shelo Yenu Bo Rak Osam Sheshlimu Ba'amuna, Behein Yisraelim Gemurin, Lo Elu Shadayim Lo Ba'u Bebris Shalem Imanu. And that's the Inyan Harkaka Sa'aram Ne'achilasa. It's very meduyak that he goes from speaking about Korban Pesach exclusively in terms of Emuna to integrating Cherus together with Emuna. Indeed, this is exactly, in my opinion, what the Rambam does in a very subtle way in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. We're all familiar with the discussion of the Gemara and the Haggadah How do you start Magid? So if you look here at, one second. This is number 25. So the Mishnah says, Matchil b'gnus m'sayim b'shevach. The Gemara says, my b'gnus. And there's a famous debate. Rav Amar, Ovdei, B'tchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu. Our forefathers were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Shmuel Amar, Avadim, Hayinu L'paro b'mitzrayim. We're all familiar. How do we paskin? We paskin like Shmuel, Avadim Hayinu L'paro b'mitzrayim. Even though later on, we do say, B'tchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu. However, if you look at the Rambam, this is number 24, Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Zayin Halacha Daled. The Rambam does something very fascinating. The Tzarech Lahatchil Bignus Ulusayim B'Sheva. Ketzad. Matchil Mesaper Shebetchilo Hayavosenu B'Meiterach U'Milafanav Kofrim. According to the Rambam, the Matchil Bignus, shockingly, is Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayavosenu. Speaking about Terach, he was a kofer, the Tohe Machara Hebel, the road for Machara Avodah Zarah, he pursued things that were meaningless, Avodah Zarah, U'mesayim b'dasa emes, shekirvanu amokoblo, v'bdilonu milatoim, v'pirvanu liyichudo, very beautiful language of the Rambam. But then he adds, v'chein matchil amodiyah, sh'avodim ayinu l'paru v'mitzrayim, v'chol ha'rashi gemalanu, u'mesayim b'nisim b'niflo, sh'nasa lanu, v'chei ruseinu. V'hu, she'idrosh ha'ram yomid abiyad, she'igro ha'parsha, kol ha'mosif u'marech, v'drachs parsha zo, reizim b'shobah. Last year, my father's first yortzeit, I spoke about the end part of this Rambam, Bikur Bikur. The Rambam does something very astonishing. He starts off by telling you that he paskins like Rav, and then he says, v'chei matchilim, and that's Shmuel. So which is it? Basically, he says, the first thing you do is b'tchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And then he says, also the first thing you do is Avodah Mayim. If you look at the Haggadah of the Rambam, like our Haggadah, he starts with Avodah Mayim. The Aruch HaShulchan is very troubled by this. All the Mefarshim, you know, take note of it. In my opinion, what the Rambam is doing is merely integrating the two elements of Korban Pesach. The Rambam is basically telling us that, of course, personal liberty is important. It's the basis of dignity. It's, you know, the foundation for Bekiva Chafshis and the pursuit of, you know, quality of life. And, of course, faith. Nothing is more important than one's faith, one's belief, one's commitment, one's consistency in that. The relationship we have with the Ribono Shel Olam is what makes life meaningful in every way. But what the Rambam wants you to know is that the discussion of Rav and Shmuel is not which of these pillars goes first or which of them is primary on the night of the Seder. The real discussion is to try to figure out how these two sides of the same coin should be formulated. Because true Cheirus ain't ben chor nele misho osik b'Torah, and the context and the mentality of an Eved itself is antithetical to true emuna, and on the contrary, the embrace of true emuna ends up being avadim lashem below avadim lava. In this respect, we can also answer another problem, and that is, it's rare to have in the first part of the Haggadah, at least until the second Hallel, any focus on anything that isn't specifically about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the event, or as the Rambam calls it, Masha Ira or Masha Kara, a phrase that he uses several times. Meaning, before you start generalizing and extracting more, you know, universal messages, all of which are very important, the first order of business on the night of Pesach of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, in contrast to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, is immersing yourself in the event itself, in its details. The one exception to that is Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, we make Terach and so on. Now you could say it's necessary background, not a different theme. But what I think the Rambam is telling us is that liberty, understood in a more ambitious way, and faith, understood in a more ambitious way, really converge. It's not for now, but in discussing the status of an Eved Kenani, there's a whole discussion about why even an Eved Kenani who has Miktsas, you know, Kedushas Yisrael, or Miktsas Geirus, what remains his flaw? Some people think there's still an aspect of his non-Jewishness. Others think, well, he has full Kedushas Yisrael. He's just simply lacking, you know, certain, you know, other requirements because he's still an Eved. My understanding of the Rambam, I'm not going to prove this right now, is that the Rambam believes that the Tzad Avdus that remains in an Eved Kenani is what holds back part of his Kedushas Yisrael. Because the concept of Kedushas Yisrael and Avdus, Avodim L'Avodim, to some human sovereign, or the limitations that it imposes on you, and the mentality that it is likely also to foster, those are simply incompatible with an embrace of true faith. This would explain Shechita as an intrinsic, and Achila as a further or extension manifestation, certainly with its less emphasis in the Pesukim as well. But let me deliver on what I said before, you know, as well. Number one, there are indications that Achilas Korban Pesach is more prominent than the Achila of other Korbanos. It's implied that way in Pesukim, in the way that the Rambam formulates the mitzvos, and we shouldn't be surprised if it's also reflected in Dina. The Beis Halevi notes the fact that when it comes to Korban Pesach, there's a sheer Achila of Kezias. On the other hand, when it comes to other Korbanos, even when there's a mitzvah of Achila, it seems that even less than a Kezias would be sufficient. Beis Halevi, Chelek Aleph Siman Beis, is troubled by this. There seems to be a contradiction between other Korbanos and Korban Pesach in terms of the shear. Says the Beis Halevi, the answer is simple. When it comes to other Korbanos, there is a mitzvah of Achila, but it's not a mitzvah of Achila Sagavra. No particular individual is obligated to eat the korban. It's just that the korban should be necha. Somehow, the yad, the destiny of this korban, its proper end should be achilas Yisrael. But it could be necha, and therefore the amount any individual eats is insignificant. Beis Halevi Kadesh, that whenever we're talking about achilas achepza, not achilas agabra, there's no shear of Kezias. There's no problem of Chatzi Shir. However, says the Beis Halevi, when it comes to Korban Pesach, that's the difficulty that people point out. Why is there a separate mitzvah of Shechita and of Achila? It's rare to have this kind of, you know, formidable mitzvah of Achila in Korbanos anyway. But now we can fully understand that when it comes to Korban Pesach, the Ochal HaZabasar B'Laila HaZeh, it's not Achila Sachetza, it's Achila Sagabra. Moreover, as we noted, being Roy L'Achila is a shiur in Shechitas HaPesach, even though the Achila itself ultimately is not Ma'akim. The Beis Halevi goes further. In the very end of the Sefer, the end of Chelek Gimel, he discusses the problem of Mitzvah Strichas Kavana, an apparent contradiction, you know, in the view of Reish Lakish. We'll get to the Gemara in just a second. And there too, he makes a suggestion. He says, no, in my opinion, there really should be a difference between Korban Pesach and Shar Korbanos. When it comes to Shar Korbanos, there's a mitzvah that the korban should be necha. And if it's only achilas achepza, there's no requirement of kavana, even according to the mandam or mitzvah strichos kavana. But Korban Pesach, that's different. And then he goes on to say, he's dealing with a problem. However, isn't Korban Pesach also a korban? So, in the end of the day, without kavana, you'll be yotzei the korban, the generic part of the korban pesach, maybe just not anything else. My own perspective on that is that that is very problematic. There are other ways to get out of the problem that the Beis Halevi is dealing with. I think the korban pesach is so unique that its generic aspect is highly questionable. We're very dubious that there is a fallback regular din korban for Korban Pesach. But either way, these are potential nafkamina. Let me go one step further as we move towards the end. The Gemara says in Nazir Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph a very remarkable thing. This is what this second Beis Halevi is going on. Let's finish this. You look here on Nazir Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Do I have it? Yes. Page 4, number 16. Amar Rabba Bar, very fascinating Gemara. Amar Rabba Bar Barachan of Rav Yochanan, Maidach Sibki Sharim Darkei Hashem et Tzadikim Yel Chumam, Uposhemi Kashe Lubam, Mashal Lishnei Bnei Adam, Shatzaluus Pischeim, two people, the tale of two Korban Pesachs, right? Something that we would all love to read, right? Two individuals, each one roasted his Korban Pesach, Echad Achala L'Shem Mitzvah, one ate it with the right kavana, the Echad Achla L'Shem Achila Gasa. The other was, you know, he was hungry, he just ate it, you know, he wolfed it down. Zesh Achal L'Shem Mitzvah, Tzadikim Yelchum. First, I think it's very interesting that they couldn't find any other mitzvah other than Korban Pesach, you know, for this. I suspect that Korban Pesach's high stature, not just its prominence, but its prominence as a Korban, of Emuna, of Cheirus, of symbolizing what is unique about the destiny of Klal Yisrael has something to do with this. But that is the major point. The Gemara says, "Amalei Reish Lakish, Hay Rasha Karis Lei, Nehi De Lo Kaavad Mitzvah Ben Amufchar, Could He Ate It As Achila Gas?" He didn't do the best job he could, but Pesach Mia Kaavad, he still did. I'm only translating it crudely, intentionally. I'll explain why in a minute. He did Pesach, right? So don't call him a Rasha. That's the Gemara. So all the Balei Tosfos were troubled. Is Achila Gasa Achila or not? Oh, that's an important topic. In Hilchos Yom Kippurim, in Masechet Yoma, what about in Hilchos Brachos? What about in Hilchos Truma? Right? The status of Achila Gasa is, you know, it's a finite thing. You can study it. So Tosa says, Mashma Achila Gasa Shmo Achila, because we're saying that he's Yotze in some fashion, even though he ate an Achila Gasa, he's Yotze the Korban Pesach. The Kasha, the Parabasra, the Yom Ka'amri, O Chalachila Gasa, Yom Kippur, and Pater, the Lushvei Achila. Tosis answers, oh, there are two types of Gasa. Everything is good. It's considered Achila. But if you look at Tosis and Psachim, Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, Tosis says something else. They have this answer, and they have another answer. Vod Yesh Lomar, the Eilo Lekroso Rasha, Kivin Shekiyim Mitzvahs Pesach, Afapi Shalokiyim Mitzvahs Achila, the Achilas Psachim Loma Akla. That's why I translated literally, he did Korban Pesach. The first answer of Tosis and Nazir, most of the Rishonim are basically saying, he fulfilled the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach, he just didn't do it the best way possible. Tosis and Psachim says, he did not fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, Achila, because he ate Achila Gasa, and Achila Gasa Lo Shema Achila. But it's not so terrible, why not? Because even though he didn't fulfill that mitzvah, the Achilas of Pesach is not Ma'akev the Shechita. It's late, so I'm not going to analyze the Marsha, the Rashash, the Minchas Chinuch, and there are a few other, the Turei Evin in Rosh Hashanah, all of whom weigh in on this issue. Let me just tell you what the upshot is. Some people think that the Marsha thinks that what Tosis is saying is there is no mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. It's just a prat in Shechitas Korban Pesach. Others think, we're not going that far, but what we are saying is that the Ikar Mitzvah is Shechitas Korban Pesach, the Tafel is Achilas Korban Pesach. Exactly the opposite of the Megillas Esther. Meaning, basically, the Achila is an extension, it's a further reinforcement of the Amuna and the Cheirus that is expressed by the Shechita, Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu Bimizonos, and so on. And therefore, even if he doesn't fulfill fully the totality of the experience of Korban Pesach, since at least the Shechita part he did properly, he doesn't deserve the indignity of being considered to be a poshea or a rasha. It's fascinating that Korban Pesach is repeatedly designated by the psukim, both in Bo and in Parshas Baloscha, as a chok. It's very strange. To what extent is Pesach a chok? Asher pasach al batei avoseinu b'mitzrayim, or simply, you know, ad sheyishkatu Eloheim li'einayim. Right, Rabbi Gamliel explains it. We understand it. What kind of chok is it? Indeed, the Medrash Rabbah actually compares, in a very famous passage, actually compares the chok of Paraduma, I have this here somewhere, and the chok of Korban Pesach. One second. I'm pretty sure I put it somewhere. Commenting on the pasuk, here it is, number 27. Yihi libi tamim b'chukecha, ze chukas ha-pesach b'chukas paraduma. Shenemar zos chukas ha-torah, zos chukas ha-pesach. Again, I'm not going to elaborate, but a lot of mefarshim weigh in to try to explain what is it about Korban Pesach that is a chok. But I think the answer is twofold. Number one, Korban Pesach is a chok because it reflects Klal Yisrael's exuberance in following Mitzvah Hashem at any cost. The real yesod of a chok, which is why the rationalist Rambam himself, in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, tells you that chukim take priority over mishpatim, as much as the Rambam valued understanding the mitzvahs. But the Rambam understood that chukim are really the crucible. They're the ones that really test one's faith. That's where the irrationality of faith commitment, not that it's not based on reason, but the going beyond your self-interest, the capacity to extend beyond yourself, that aspect of Nasa V'Nishma, of Chukim prior to Mishpatim, is reflected in Paraduma, not because of its stakes, but because of its difficulty to penetrate, you know, the paradox, and equally in Korban Pesach, because the ability of a slave nation, you know, which dreamed of their masters, not longingly, but you know, a nightmare. Their ability, sheyishkatu Eloheim li'einayim, was truly a epiphanous moment, was truly a chok. Let me mention one other point as we conclude. The Mishnah says in Sachim that the Korban Pesach was nishchat in three different kitas. That's maybe a topic for another time to explain again. The Chabura part, the Tzibur part, the Yachid part. A Pesach Nishkat, the Gimel Kitos, Shemar V'Shochto, so Kol Kal Adas Yisrael, Kal the Eid of Yisrael. And then they describe it. Part of the Mishnah's description is the accompanying singing of Hallel during the Shechita. And how far they got, how many times they have to sing Hallel. It seems that Hallel was an integral part of Shechitas Korban Pesach. And then later on, the Mishnah on Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph, number 29, says, Ma bein Pesach harishon l'sheni, harishon aser b'bayu rabbi matze, hasheni chametzu matze ima b'bayis. Okay. Harishon ta'un Hallel b'achilaso, Pesach rishon requires Hallel during its achila, Hasheni ain't a ta'un halal b'achilaso, but ze b'ze ta'un halal b'asiyasa. I would have rather it said b'shkitasa. What can you do? B'nakol in sleep. The Gemara asks, how do you know, what's the makar for saying halal during achilas ha-pesach and shkitas ha-pesach? Harishon ta'un halal b'achilaso, minon emili. Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'shur b'shin min yaw tzadok, Amar Kras, shir yelachem, Kaleil Niskad Nishchad. Laila HaMekudash Lachag, Ta'un Hala. Laila She'in Mekudash Lachag, In Ta'un Hala. Okay, so we have a makar for Halel during Achilas Korban Pesach. But Ze B'Ze, we're told, Te'unin Halel Ba'asi Yasan. Or it doesn't matter, Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, my time. Ibai Seima, Laila Kamamai, Yom Lo Kamamai, Ibai Seima, Epshar Yisrael, Shochtin, Es Pischeim, the Notlin, Es Lulaveim, the Ein Omrim Hala? You know, like the Sefer Achinuch. You know, it's a Svara, you don't need a Makkah. Forget about the Netzilas Lulav for a moment, which is strongly identified as an act of Shevach Vahodah itself, called Nesim Yahaluka, we're not in Sukkot. But Efshar Yisrael Shokhtin is Pitzchayim, the Enom Rimhala. But of course, if really Korban Pesach, you know, is not only a Korban Amunah, not only an expression of Cheirus, but it's also the conjoining, the converging of these two ideas and the profound understanding that they're two sides of the same coin, that one cannot be achieved and realized in a serious way, in a you know, ambitious, aspirational way without the other, then could there be anything that deserves Hallel more than Shechitas Korban Pesach? Probably not. So just to conclude, I mentioned that this topic is something that I've always been very interested in, all aspects of Korban Pesach. You know, but it also has meaning for me in terms of my father's legacy, in addition to what I already said. My father, as I mentioned other times, was someone who was a completely self-made person. His trajectory was very unlikely. If you knew him, you would never have had a clue that he had to take initiative, that basically he dragged the family with him to become the person who he was. His connection to Torah, to mitzvos, to rabbinic leadership, to being an amazing Talmud, an amazing Rav, amazing teacher, all of that came from his instinct as a little boy, growing up, you know, next to Polish Yidden in Toronto, and somehow, not in an environment which was suffused, you know, certainly not with learning and certainly not with other things, probably where there was a good measure of tradition and emuna, but in a very amorphous way. Somehow, instinctively, he just attached himself and began to immerse, you know, into that world. He used to speak about it, you know, himself as being very mysterious. He would often say that he has no real explanation of why, as a little boy, you know, with many other forces and influences surrounding him, you know, he had this very deep sense of destiny that this was what his life should be. But kachaba, and though my father, again, in a very unself-conscious way, didn't make many speeches about it, but he was a person who had profound emuna. When there were crises, you know, his emunah kicked in. He would often speak, especially in later years, in nostalgic moments, of five turning points in his life where he really felt, you know, the Yad Hashem, you know, Hashgacha, meaning my mother being a central one as well. My father was a very rational person, a very pragmatic person in many respects. He had a lot of pride and dignity. But he also had the ability to speak almost childlike about those moments and those experiences. And the truth is, in that respect, you know, he really was a Korban Pesach, you know, Jew. It was, for him, a Shachatu Eloheim Le'enehem moment when he decided to defy odds and really to fight every step of the way to make sure that he got a Jewish education, you know, that his family began to conduct themselves in a fashion that would foster a climate where he and his brothers could grow and develop. And it's really a very extraordinary, extraordinary thing. My father used to tell the story, I don't know if I mentioned this last year or not, but my father's bar mitzvah parsha was celebrated, you know, in Parshas Lech Lecha. And he used to, he was always very amused by it, because he said that years later, you know, he realized that, you know, the maskil who, you know, taught him a little bit of Hebrew, you know, asked him his English birthday, you know, looked on the calendar, and said, ah, so Lech Lecha is your parsha. And then years later, when he was, you know, he had a different perspective, he realized that he wasn't bar mitzvah yet, and that his real parsha would have been Vayera. And I remember he was always very amused by the story, and I always thought that it was really a kind of perfect, you know, hashgacha, because he too had a Lech Lecha, you know, moment as a very young boy, and he too, you know, created a family. You know, he started as a yachid. He influenced, you know, his direct family, and then he became a manig, and you know, was one of the most prominent rabbanim, you know, in the United States. So they say, a faithful and loyal Talmud to his Rebbe, and a person whose contributions in his own right were very significant. In the end of the day, you know, both as a yachid, his service to the tzibur, his ability, you know, especially to grow and to impact to the chabura of his family, in all of these things, you know, his Korban Pesach mystique, especially the mystery part of it, is something that prevailed. Therefore, I just want to thank everybody again for coming out and helping us honor his memory on this, the second Yahrzeit, Yehi Zichro Baruch.